online broadcast network, AfterBuzz TV. Over 20 million weekly downloads in over 150 countries and your number one source for after-show entertainment. TV, the destination for TV superfans, producing aftershows for over 300 of your favorite TV shows, interviewing celebrities and showrunners, and bringing you behind-the-scenes exclusives. All thanks to E! Entertainment's Maria Menounos, producer Kevin Undergaro, and internet leader Akamai. Now, let the buzz begin!
Hey guys, welcome to The 100, Season 2, Episode 6, Fog of War. We're here at AfterBuzz. I'm your host, Tari J. Miller, and joining us today, Vivian Adobe. Welcome her. Everyone clap your hands.
Thank you. So happy to be here with The 100.
Awesome.
Recapping this episode. Best episode of the season. I'm so excited. So
welcome
fun.
To the show.
So good.
Thank you.
And on our right, Ben Bateman.
What's up, guys? How's everybody doing? I just need to wait for the mic. How's everybody doing? All right.
We had a really exciting episode this time around.
Really exciting. Definitely right, I think, probably the best episode of the season so far.
Hands down.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
And the continuation of the final moments from last week, 2 weeks ago, I suppose it was now, episode mm-hmm. into now, is like really exciting.
Yeah.
Now it's like things are getting kind of, you know, getting pumped up.
Right.
Yeah. It's great.
So let's jump right into it. Okay. I'd like to talk about Mount Weather for a second.
You know, can I, real quick,
before we... There will be no interrupting, Ben.
I'm just going to play a song. No, I'm just kidding. No, I just wanted to say really quickly before we get going that, you know, this is, what, the sixth episode of the season now?
Yeah.
And so our style to this point has been very, like, analytical and, like, critical, I think. Critical in our minds in a good way.
Right.
But I wanted to just point out before we go into this week's critique that we are very, very appreciative of our fans. And we love our fans.
Definitely.
And we read every single comment and respond to most of them. I want to give a quick shout out to Kof2009, Super October 71, Maria J, Agnia 85, and finally Jill Bauer for being wonderful fans and keeping us honest. And pretty much we want to just make sure going forward that we express how much we do enjoy this show. Because honestly, guys, we love this show. That's why we're doing it. We chose to do The 100. That's the show that I chose to do and these guys chose to do. So we are here for a reason, and we want to let you know that we love the show, and we're doing it because we want to, not because we have to.
Yeah.
So let's get on with it.
All right. Well said. So, cool. Mount Weather. Let's recap it real quick. So we jump in. And we have Dr. Singh, we have Cage Wallace, and President Wallace, and they're all in the room chatting about the progress that they've made with Maya.
Right.
She's been healing a lot faster. She seems to be able to, metabolize radiation on her own.
Right.
So basically, Jasper's blood is 8 times more effective than the grounder blood.
Right.
Yes, tiger blood.
Tiger blood.
Yeah.
Nice. So this brings an interesting query. So Cage and Dr. Singh want to basically take the 48 and make them, well, slaves, blood slaves.
Cake for blood, as Jasper says.
Yes. Which isn't a terrible deal.
Are you kidding me? That's twisted and sick. But, I mean, it goes with the show.
I'm a huge fan of cake. And the cake on that episode, I think it was chocolate and white cake. I went home and I stopped at Ralph's on the way home. And I bought cake.
Why didn't you bring us some?
It was a couple weeks ago. I ate all of it.
But did you give blood for it?
No. They didn't ask me for that at Ralph's.
Well, on Mount Weather, the cake is a lie, guys. That's a video game. Anyway, the cake is a lie. Our producer, Alexis, is clapping because she gets it.
Yeah, Portal. Absolutely.
But anyways, so instead of taking the 48 and forcing them to give their blood, President Wallace wants to see if they'll volunteer, which I think was a really good parallel to the first season in which, Jaha had to decide whether he wanted to tell the people on the Ark basically that 300 people had to die in order for everyone else to survive.
Sure, sure.
So I felt like that was a good parallel. What did you guys think?
It was one of my favorite moments of the episode, surprisingly, because it showed that he had a heart. He actually cares somewhat.
The president.
Yeah, mm-hmm. The president. Big that time. He actually is kind of being like a president. He's being diplomatic. He wants to negotiate and work it out with the 48 to get volunteers. And that's something that hasn't, you know, been seen so much with Cage and Dr. Singh, who wants to cut everyone up and experiment.
Right.
Yeah, I definitely think that early on when we met the president, you know, we found ourselves asking that question, why is he so nice to Clark? I remember we had whole discussions about why, you know, does he let her just waltz into his office and he's so personable? And you realize that maybe he does have a heart. He is from possibly an older generation that's a little more sympathetic. They don't feel like they have to compromise their morals as much, though apparently everyone else compromises their morals because they're all aware of these caged grounders. That was the big thing for me was, you know, it's wonderful that the president has this like heart and they're obviously setting up his son to be, you know, a little heartless. And Dr. Singh is just right now kind of a cardboard, like villainous doctor.
Right.
But when, I mean, am I jumping ahead already?
No, I mean, I think you bring up a good point in that, like, they mention down the line. So when Maya exposes to Jasper and Monty that they're using grounders, she tells them that everyone in Mount Weather knows that they're being used for their blood.
So crazy. So savage.
Like, but no one talks about it.
Right.
And that's the thing is, I mean, I feel like as regular people, like people who don't have to make the hard decisions, I mean, is it justified or at least do you understand the need to just kind of ignore things that you see as an imperative? Like they see this as something that's needed for them to live.
Survival,
so they ignore
right.
it.
And they're also probably a little bit desensitized. Like, it doesn't mean as much to them now because they probably have lived with it for so long.
Mm-hmm.
It's just another, you know, little area that they don't go around too much.
It's just, it's sort of hilarious, though, that they, like, the way they set up Mount Weather, it's set up to, like, look like this really old-timey. They're eating with their polished silver, you know, fork and knife and all that. And they've got their white cake and they've got their chocolate cake and they've got their roast chicken. And it's like, there's these caged people just right behind this wall, and we're just living off their blood. Don't talk about that. Enjoy your chicken.
Right.
Like, it's, like, kind of crazy, right? It makes the whole operation seem so much more sadistic than it otherwise seemed.
Right. Well, though, I would parallel it to the way that we eat meat in that, like, I mean, we are eating them from packages, but they actually come from animals that have been, like, caged and or processed or free-range, depending on where you get your animals from. But, like, I feel like it's the same thing.
Definitely a pretty interesting and morally ambiguous tangent we could go on that we shouldn't go on.
No, I mean, I'm just saying, like, that is the comparison I would make.
Definitely.
It's like a PETA ad for groundlings.
Yeah, I thought you were just going to,
No, I was definitely not going to go on that. Like, guys, we should talk about free range for, no.
What did you eat for breakfast? What did you eat for breakfast?
So that's where it is. And now Jasper and Monty have to make they have to make a decision whether they're going to leave or stay or figure out how to get everyone out, because now that they know that they might be next, they got to figure it out. So what do they decide to do? They decide to stay and volunteer and try to get everyone to do so just to buy time.
Yeah.
What do you think of that plan?
I'll let you fill this one first if you want.
Okay. Well, I think it's very noble of them. But, you know, going back to their kind of the high school dorks kind of, you know, I don't think their peers may have made the same decision. I feel like most of them would have fled. So it's really courageous of them to stick around. I don't know if it was the smartest decision because they're banking a lot on Clark and they really don't know how she is. They don't know if she's alive. They're really just kind of going off of hope and kind of nervous for them. But
yeah.
Seems like it might work out.
It's like a rock and a hard place decision for them a little bit, it feels like.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I mean, you wonder, like, where their heads are at in making that decision. How much time are they going to save by Monty going and doing that? Like, they're going to have to get someone else to do it. And then what happens a week later if – do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it also seems like none of the other kids were willing at all. So they're going to have to bring someone else in and tell them – well, no, they did tell, because they had a conversation at the
end. Eventually, yeah.
Right. Yeah, interesting. We will see what happens with that. I love that President Wallace just keeps getting better and better. I think, like, it's really cool, just like we mentioned, that he's a good guy, mm-hmm. kind of at heart.
Yeah.
And, like, I love at the end when he grabs Cage's neck, and he's mm-hmm. basically just like, you're my son, but I'll kill you if I find out that you're behind this.
Right.
Like, it's just cool. Like, he's turning into, a deeper, more complex, stronger character,
mm-hmm.
And definitely less cardboard. That's something I just feel like about this show in general. You know, there was an article from Hypeable.com, Selena Wilkin wrote, that I saw. I sent it over to you guys, and it's like all about Finn's demise as a character.
Yeah.
And it points out just over and over again how this show, because it's a CW show and it's targeted towards a younger demographic, and in the past, CW shows have been like maybe just like a little bit more like eye candy type of shows.
Definitely. Right.
They talk about how this show actually is so much more than that, and how the writers, even though it's on the CW, so they are kind of bound a little bit by what they're allowed to do, they keep kind of winking at you. It's like read between the lines, and you start to realize maybe some of these plot developments with these characters, they are a little more intelligent than you thought. And I feel like as the show goes on, we are seeing that. And it's rewarding. A character like President Wallace, it's nice when you first get him. You're like, oh, he's just this – you feel like you know everything right away.
Right.
And, it's like this episode is like, oh, this could really turn out to be a good character.
They're definitely building like three-dimensional characters.
Yeah, it's good writing.
I mean, and even characters that like you're kind of gray on at the beginning, you see them start to get fleshed out and you build an attachment to them.
Big time, yeah.
Yeah.
That's the way – I mean, that's the way to do it, right? You give – when you give me a character like the president at the beginning, and you do make him seem sort of this like innocuous, almost boring character, and you keep giving me like little bits and pieces, by the time you do flesh him out with a little bit more, like in this episode, now we feel like we've known him for a while.
Right.
So he actually makes sense.
And we have a relationship with him.
You care. Right. You care. As opposed to when you just, I don't know, you take one of the kids who is in Mount Weather that we've seen since the beginning of the season, but we haven't really ever seen, and you give Miller a few lines, and we're supposed to just care about Miller.
Right.
It's a different kind of approach. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, anyway.
I'm going to use that as a springboard. Speaking of characters going from innocuous to amazing, let's talk about Jaha and Kane in the prison.
Yeah.
So basically, just to recap it really quickly, we get Jaha and Kane in the prison. Kane is trying to get off his chains, but he is unsuccessful. Then a big group of grounders come in, they start beating up Jaha for no reason, and then they throw down a knife and say, you and your people, you massacred a bunch of people in one
blood
of our villages.
Blood.
Yeah. Blood for blood.
And they have no idea what he's talking about. But
yeah.
Yeah. Doesn't matter.
Yeah, no. I mean, and that's just a sidebar real quick. That's something I like in that we saw Finn's actions have a consequence outside of the group that we are normally following.
Because so, it's more realistic.
Yeah. So I thought that was a nice element. And so then it comes down to one of them has to kill the other, and then they'll talk peace. And they leave a little girl to bring everyone back once there's a winner. That little girl's name is Lexa.
Yeah.
So do you guys think that either Jaha or Kane would kill the other?
I didn't really see a true, like, deathmatch, celebrity deathmatch thing coming.
Yeah.
I didn't. That's a reference. It's an old reference, guys. But yeah, you guys.
it didn't goes over my head.
Really think it's like an old MTV claymation show where
yeah.
celebrities kill each other.
That's it was amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hilarious. But I didn't ever expect that they would actually like fight to the death with this one knife.
Yeah.
I did love the twist at the end of this.
Yeah.
That was awesome.
It was
great. That she's the commander.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that was the best part. I was screaming, well, in my head. I wrote all over my notes, yes, yes.
Yeah.
She's such a G. I love it.
Yeah.
She was the best.
I mean, and the show has a lot, like, the show has a rich history of strong female characters. And
yeah.
we know that a lot of the leaders in the grounder camps are females. So I was really surprised that this guy was giving the orders. And then when she revealed herself, I was like, yes, that is what I want.
Well, and this is another case, and I feel like we should have like a little bell we can ding, because every single episode I find myself, we do the thing where I go, well, this happened, and then I crossed out my note, because it's like they answer the question by the end of the episode. And I had in my notes where I was like, why are they leaving this girl like within walking distance of these guys that have a knife? It seems really obvious that they would, you know, try to hold her hostage or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And again, you know, and Jaha tries to hold her hostage, and she just whoops him. And
yeah.
you're like, this, yep, she's awesome. This is what they wanted us to think, and they totally surprised us. So, yeah, awesome. Awesome move there.
Yeah, it was great. And so I mean, I'm glad also, just to round this out, that like Cain was man enough to try to give his own blood for blood. I mean, because up and he's always on this slight redemption arc. He goes from being a hard A to being really sad about stuff to being an actual leader. And so I like that in his quest for peace and his quest for redemption, he was man enough to like take the knife to himself.
Definitely. He's almost like, well, we all know that Clark is the main protagonist, but it's like he has his own little story about being the protagonist and growing within this episode and this whole season.
Yeah.
And going into what you said about Cain and deciding who would get the knife, I thought from the jump that Cain would turn the knife on Jaha. I just thought it was going to happen. I was surprised when he looked like he was going to sacrifice himself because mm-hmm. I didn't see it coming, but... It was also really interesting with Lexa, how she observed what was going on, and she knew that Cain was going on that path of being a protagonist and being honorable and showing that he actually cared about peace.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it is funny because the show has trained us now to expect the unexpected a little. So there was a moment where I was just like, oh, Cain is just going to jam Jaha in the neck. And he's just going to, just like Wells bled out. I was like, that's a little sadistic. But I was maybe it's going to happen. There was definitely a moment. So, yeah, it's funny to me that those two characters, that Cain and Jaha, it's like they're this battle of altruists.
Yeah.
It's like they just want it. It's like they both just, they're obsessed with like sacrificing themselves for the good of the colony. You know what I mean? Almost to like the point to like a comedy of errors where it's like, no, I need to sacrifice my life. So, yeah.
They're both going, I'm Spartacus.
Yeah.
Anyway, well, yeah. And I like that, what was I going to say? Oh, yes. The funny thing about that is that it wasn't always that way. I mean, and it's kind of a weird comparison in that, like, Jaha has always been self-sacrificial.
Right.
But he wasn't the one to do it. Whereas Cain was, before, he was all about, like, the good of the people, but he was more... selfish, and now he was the one who was willing to take the plunge. So I thought it was a really good way to flip those two characters on their head.
It's funny, and I think we could use this as a nice springboard to get to kind of the expedition where they go from Camp Jaha, and that, well, we can explain and give a recap in a second, but I think it's funny that in general you continue to see a recurring theme here, which is that the adults didn't grow nearly as much in their experience on the Ark and getting to Earth as the kids grew. It's like the kids grew to be older and more wise and courageous than the adults being on the ground for the short period of time that they were before the adults got there.
Yeah.
Because you constantly see the kids kind of making better decisions than the adults, outsmarting the adults, being more brave than the adults, not holding on to the old regime and the confines of the previous society as much.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's funny. It does make sense. I mean, youth and all that and survival, they had to go through what they had to go through.
Right.
But you see it in every episode.
Definitely. Especially in this episode with Clark and her mom and how you can see that her mother is definitely respecting her more in her opinion and actually caring about what she has to say and actually going forward with it.
Yeah.
So that's really exciting to see because she was very much kind of, you know, that annoying mother that does not agree with you on anything. And it just happens to affect a whole bunch of people in the process.
So I think the next bit we'll get into.
Yes. But before we get into that.
iTunes.
Let's talk about iTunes.
iTunes.
Yes. So as Ben said earlier, we definitely read all your comments, and we love hearing from you. So you know what to do. Like we say it every week. It would really help us
if you tweeted Lindsay Morgan. Just
if you
kidding.
Tweeted Lindsay Morgan, told her to get on this show. And the best way to help her get on this show is to help bring this show to the top of the list on iTunes. And the way you could do that is to give us 5 stars. If you think we're doing a good job and you love the content that we're putting out, not just us, but AfterBuzz in general, go on and give your stars, give your comments, help us become the best show/network on iTunes and on YouTube. Go and like and subscribe and do all the good things that we love to have you do. Keep interacting because it's what we're here for, guys.
No joke, we read every single comment. I check the comments like 6 to 8 times a day during the week after the episode because I'm interested to hear. I want to have something to respond to. I want to get into a conversation.
Yeah.
So it's exciting for me when you guys, you know, do comment. And so, yeah, just let us know if we're doing a good or, you know, not such a good job.
Let us know.
Yeah, please. Awesome. So, yeah, this will kind of bring us into the next little bit. Tari, can I take this recap?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, thank you. So this
I'm going to stop you right there.
Because I have a song to play.
Hey, can I be Taylor Swift in this moment?
You just like, take out a cowbell?
Start, yeah. I need more cowbell.
More cowbell.
The 100 acapella cowbell song by Terry J. So, no, this next section is the longest section of the episode, and it kind of spans from it starts at Camp Jaha, and then it goes through the woods, and then it ends up in these bunkers. It's a lot. It's a lot of characters that splits off. So initially what happens is they're at Camp Jaha, and it's 2 days later, and Finn and Clark have this like uncomfortable interaction. They then decide to go on an expedition to go try to basically save – it's to disrupt the signal coming from Outweather that's jamming all their communication. So Raven's going to build a bomb. They're going to blow it up. They go out. They get attacked by acid fog, which we didn't know actually what it was until this episode.
Mm-hmm.
And they take cover in some bunkers. They split up. Bellamy and Octavia and some soldiers are in one part. Finn and Clark are in another part. And Raven and Abby are in another part. And then they all reconvene at the end of the episode after they've sorted out their whole shenanigans.
Yep.
And Lincoln's a cannibal.
throw that one in there.
So what did we think about all that?
Oh, man. Well, let's start from the top.
It's a lot.
It is.
It spanned like the whole – it's like it was hard. I was trying to keep notes, keep it all straight in my notes.
Right.
And the expedition portion of my notes is on 2 pages because it's like so much happened.
Yeah.
There was so many heart-to-hearts.
Because
I feel
awesome.
Like everyone had them.
Didn't you guys feel like this episode moved forward as an episode so much more, I felt like, than the previous three?
Yeah.
Like the plot was driven. And while obviously the final 10 minutes of the previous episode, we probably didn't give credit last week to like just how cool we thought it was.
Yeah.
Or 2 weeks ago. It was awesome. I mean, it was definitely a big moment.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we were expecting someone to die, so or a main character died. Lots of people died. 18 people died.
Yes.
But this episode, I really felt like this whole section just like moved things forward in a really cool way.
I agree. So let's start with Raven and Abby.
Okay.
Because they get trapped in a tent together after the fog comes, which we find out in this moment. Moments later, that it is a weapon created by the Mountain Men.
Called the Veil.
The Veil.
The Veil. Which is, that's a pretty sweet name.
It is cool. It's ominous.
Yeah. It's super Moffat-esque. Anyway, he's a Doctor Who showrunner. So as Abby and Raven are in this tent, they are figuring out the radio signals, and they find that all of them are jammed except for one. Raven manages to unjam the one that's within that frequency, and it finds out that it's the Mount Weather radio signal. So it's the one that they're using to communicate with each other while they're out in the field.
And they have to make the decision, do we explode it, destroying their ability to communicate, or to jam our signal so we can try to find if there's other ARC survivors, or Raven says to Abby, what would Clark do?
Mm-hmm.
Which is, she would save her friends. So they decide they're going to keep it alive in the end, to listen to the signal alive, so they can listen to what's going on in Mount Weather to try to mount an expedition, in theory, to save them.
Yeah. I mean, do you guys think that was the right decision to make?
Well, the first thing I just want to reference, and this is one of my lone nitpick moments, I thought it was a little weird that, for instance, in the previous episode, when Raven's like standing there like sadly watching the other kids go on this expedition. She's like, I can't go because I have this brace on my leg. But in this episode, seemingly she's just like walking in the woods on this expedition totally fine. Obviously, I would never say anything negative about Lindsay Morgan's character. Raven is my favorite character in the show, and I think the most rad character in the show. But that was a little peculiar to me. They didn't until the end when she says, make your own brace, they didn't even make a reference to it.
Right.
Well, we did see in the last episode, though, that she was doing some exercises to try and get stronger and be able to move without her brace hindering her so much. And I feel like part of it was mental hindrances in the last episode, but definitely this part, when she goes back and talks to Finn about his own brace, it's like she's saying that she was released of her mental brace, which is why she's able to go out and actually be useful on this expedition.
It's a fair assessment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was just going to say that she's too badass to be contained to Camp Jaha, so they had to get her out of there. She pushed all of her awesomeness into her leg so that she could walk on it, and then she joined and was the most useful person in the world because she's amazing.
She's awesome. We love Lindsay Morgan. If it wasn't clear, guys, it wasn't clear that we love Lindsay Morgan, guys, by the song that was performed last week on the show, which you can find on YouTube. You should
which you should all listen to.
Thank you. You should tweet Lindsay Morgan as much as you can so she knows and understands that she should come and be our guest on this show. We just want to hang out with her and, like, watch an episode and talk about AfterBuzz stuff with her.
Right, yeah. Right. And real quick, woman to woman, Lindsay, talking to you. Oh. You should come. I'm your hugest fan after him.
Oh, wow.
You need to come here and hold it down and explain why your character's so rad. We think we know, but obviously these writers have things up their sleeves that we're unaware about, and we would love for you to come in and give us some insight.
You heard it here, first, folks. There's two of the biggest fans, the two biggest fans, at this table. I don't know what you're doing here.
I'm just gonna
step in and say that I am number three.
Oh, wow.
I am also a huge fan of you, and I think it would be great if you could be here.
Oh, my goodness. This is wonderful. So tweet Lindsay Morgan, guys. We're going to move back to the show now.
Love this. Anyway, so ultimately, they decide to save the people in Mount Weather, which I think was great because they could just send out a scout mission to find the other people, but they only get the one opportunity to spy in on Mount Weather.
Right.
And moving beyond that, so while Finn and Clark are out looking for Bellamy and Octavia, they get stuck in the same bunker that the three gentlemen were in earlier, a few episodes ago, when the fog rolls in.
Right. So maybe it's my total lack of direction with like where the woods are and where everything's placed.
Uh-huh.
I feel like that bunker that they've ended up in several times now, I believe it's the same bunker from the first season that Clark and Finn were in.
I think it was different.
So oh, it's a different bunker. Okay. Yeah. So I was just going to say it feels like it's always conveniently located near where they are, but that's totally wrong. It's like beautifully uncomfortable, the moments between Clark and Finn. I really like it. I like it's just like awkward and like, you remember that they're teenagers, but he's like done this horrible thing and he kind of hates himself and it's just twisted. And it's just so complicated. I don't know. The scenes with them together are great.
Yeah. I mean, and it's funny that you bring up the first season because I thought it was a really good contrast because the last time they were in a bunker like this together, they were making love.
Right.
But this time it's Clark trying to figure out her own feelings and whether she can forgive him or whether she blames herself for what he's done. So it's that whole thing that they're dealing with, and I love it.
Yeah.
And they definitely have more depth to them than they did the previous season. The fact that we're seeing emotion from Finn, he's definitely upset, he's sad, he's crying, shedding tears. I wouldn't have expected that from him just based off the first season. And then seeing how Clark she's definitely struggling, trying to figure out what does she do? Does she comfort Finn? But she doesn't feel safe with him the whole time. She looks so uncomfortable, so freaked out.
Yeah, what the article that we talked about earlier, the Hypo article, references is just that his character seemed primed to die at the end of last week. That was like kind of what they were giving us.
Yeah.
And it's cool that they made him do something horrible and kept him alive. Do you have to deal with the guilt? You have to deal with him interacting with people now, kind of hating himself. You realize that he's, you know, his demise is like maybe halted a little because he found Clark. And like he says in that creepy way, I found you.
Yeah.
But maybe he's not the character they're going to kill off to shock us in this season. Maybe he'll just turn in kind of in the same way Murphy did in the first season, where they make you think he's expendable and they keep him around to be, you know, and that's actually just on the Murphy note.
Yeah.
Clark, when Murphy walks up at the beginning, she's like, maybe they have cleared you, but I haven't, which is great because it's like, you killed people, Murphy. Like, I'm not your friend. Like, we're cool, but like, we're not cool at all. That's great. You know, it's honest. It's real.
Yeah.
It's real, but it kind of made me a little angry with Clark too because, I mean, they were looking for you. It wasn't like they set off on this path of destruction. Like, they just wanted to kill everyone. Like, they wanted to save their friends. And unfortunately, they thought that would help. And it definitely didn't. Made them look crazy. Lost a lot of lives.
Yeah.
But they kind of meant well.
Right. And I think she definitely feels that, especially the moment when Finn gives her the watch. Because at that moment, it occurs to her that she was the inciting incident for everything that happened going before that moment. So I think that's something for her to deal with. And I think that that ultimately will help her to forgive him. Can I ask you guys a question?
Yeah, yeah, please.
In this interaction, Clark says, I feel like I don't know you anymore. However, I feel like Clark has never really known Finn. I mean, do you guys get the same? Because
yes.
They met. Yeah,
yes.
Right?
I'm so glad someone brought that up.
Well, yeah. And I'm sorry, everyone who ships them. But, like, their whole interaction up until now and up until the Finn going crazy thing was, you know, they met kind of on a lark. Finn was in love with her, but he also had a girlfriend. They never really dove in to each other's personality. They got a sense of who each other were, but I mean, Clark was always dealing with being a leader, and he was always just kind of like trying to protect her or protect himself.
Right.
So do you ever feel like they really knew each other? Do you ever feel like they were really connected?
Well, they're also teenagers. I mean, I definitely remember going around in high school, getting a crush on someone and assuming I knew everything about them until I realized, oh, he might be a jerk or such and such. And also, in times of need, what do? You look for, you know, affection, attention. Right now, we're in cuffing season where people are looking for someone to, you know. You don't know what cuffing season is? Y'all don't know? Okay. Really quickly.
Someone to keep them warm during the winter or something?
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Okay. So that's kind of a safety mechanism for them. You know, they don't have to know that much about each other, but they know that they make each other feel good and they're in a very trying situation.
Something I was thinking about was with the way they interact now, if you guys ever have considered what would happen if, like, you and your best friends were in, like, a zombie apocalypse, like The Walking Dead or something like this? Or
I think
something.
About it all the time.
All the time.
Right. We've all thought about what would happen if maybe, you know, fault line happened and there was, like, half the SoCal fell in the ocean or something and it's rioting and everybody's kind of fending for themselves or whatever. You sort of think about, like, the people that do grow up and the people that do become leaders, and that it's like that natural selection theory.
Mm-hmm.
And you see it with Bellamy and you see it with Clark, where they did grow up more than maybe some of the other people they were with, and they took leadership roles and they made sacrifices. And Finn, to some degree, he was this pacifist, like you said, who kind of protected himself, protected Clark, but he didn't really take on, like, a leadership role.
Right.
And maybe as Clark and as Bellamy grew into these mature, like, I'm going to do what's right for the people role, Finn was kind of preoccupied with being in love with Clark. He wasn't really thinking about the good of the people as much as maybe just his crush or his, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It was a less evolved line of thinking. And so now you see that it's like that natural selection thing. It's like maybe the harsh times got to him. They clearly did more than they got to some of the stronger characters.
Yeah.
So that's kind of interesting. That's where he is as a character now. He's a weaker character. He's a damaged character.
Yeah. Which makes him a better character, I feel.
Yeah. Yeah. Definitely.
More elements.
Yeah. So moving on from that, Bellamy, Olivia, nope.
Octavia.
Nope. Octavia. I put Bellamy and Octavia together, which is something I shouldn't do. That's not a ship name. We're not going to do that.
Nope.
No, sir.
Anyways,
no incest here.
Bellamy, Octavia, and some soldiers end up in some ruins. These ruins are actually a parking garage.
Yeah.
So I thought that was a really nice...
It's cool.
Yeah. Because it gave you a really good post-apocalyptic feel. Everything else has been in forests. But this was like, oh, yeah, people actually inhabited this area.
In one single moment, we went from the woods and the story we've known to 28 days later. It was awesome.
Yeah.
They set that whole sequence up in that parking garage is the coolest part of the whole episode to me. Like,
mm-hmm.
the creepy Christmas music, the straight zombie stuff, like Lincoln eating someone.
It was like The Walking Dead.
Oh, yeah. It was just great. It was like everything. And just, again, you think you're like, well, they're turning Lincoln into the soldier. He's going to be like the stern, you know, stern soldier who's going to be like their super soldier. And then not at all. He's just eating someone. It's like he's not even like a killer who's going to be like snapped out of his trance. It's just awesome that they shine the light on him. He's just like eating the guy.
Yeah.
And that's
so gross.
So now even if you save Lincoln, now even if you turn him back to normal, it's still like, I witnessed you eating someone. You did that, Lincoln.
There's no turning back.
Yeah, it's awesome. It's great. I just thought it was
gross.
I thought it was so cool. I don't know. I loved it.
I'm just going to say, and I know that the commenters didn't like this, but if Octavia has to put him down, I called it.
You did. You gave the prediction.
Wait, anyway. I'm so mad you just said put him down, and he was eating like an animal.
Yes. Well, I mean, because he's basically at this point a stray dog or like a rabid dog. I mean, they're going to try to use the power of love and the power of friendship on him. But like the way that this show is written and the way that it goes, keeping in turn with the realness of the characters, there's no way that they can bring him back.
I wonder what human flesh is going to do for his jacked six pack. Moving on. Just kidding. I try to find a way
to
reference
bitter
it.
At all,
I try to find a way to reference it every episode. You know, I feel like it's my duty at this point. It's like a running joke.
But before we move on, I felt so bad for Octavia, though. Last look before he starts running over and Bellamy comes in and uses that laser thingamajig on his neck. Like that look of terror and fear and sadness was just crippling. I felt so bad for her.
Yeah. I mean, that's the love of her life. And he is now. He's basically an animal, a flesh-eating animal who would kill her at the first moment he is available.
But so then, after he's been, because did they shoot him? I think they shoot him when he first comes at him, or did they just hit him? I thought it looked like they shot him and then they hit him in the back of the head.
Well, they got a shot off on him. He kept charging at them, and then later they used the stun baton.
But so it seemed like when he kind of stumbled back towards them after they'd been hiding, that he was like struggling, you know? And you wonder, was it because he got shot or was it because his serum was maybe running out and he like needed serum? That's kind of the gist that I got, was what they were going for. And so it's going to be interesting in next week's episode when you get to see what happens to him as he doesn't have his serum. Will he just be able to come out of it? You know, will they be able to turn him back? Or
well, I'm assuming that he's going to have to go through withdrawals.
Right.
And that will be the whole thing, is them chaining him up and having him try to drain it out of his system or have his system reset in the 14 days it takes your body to reset from an addiction.
Right.
I have a question.
Yes.
Do you guys think it's going to be like a Beauty and the Beast kind of thing with like Octavia and Lincoln?
That she'll be the only one that can snap him out of it?
Yeah. Like she's the only one that can tame the beast kind of thing.
Again,
that's just my preference.
Well, they've kind of set it up that way. We talked about that last week. And again, that's one of those obvious things that you're like, that's clearly what they're going for here, is that the only person that's going to be able to save Lincoln is Octavia. But like, he's a cannibal. It's not that simple anymore.
Right.
Maybe, but not this show. These writers don't do that. They're not going to give us something as like cardboard as just like snap your fingers and Lincoln's back from being... I think that's going to be way more interesting than that.
Because it's like you were saying, like, even if he does come back and he gains his senses, like, he still has to live with what he's done,
you know?
And she still has to remember what that image of him eating human flesh and being a reaper.
Yeah.
And so it's like, you got to get past that. And no matter how much you love someone, it's hard to kind of bridge those gaps.
Right. She'll have a total Clark and Finn moment with Lincoln if they can bring him back.
Yeah.
And I feel like if they can bring him back, it won't be by Octavia. It'll be by another character that's able to bring him back to how he was before. I feel like Octavia will be too shocked or overwhelmed or something.
Bellamy should do it.
They might have something.
That would be a good one.
I think it would be really, really good for him to do that, just to change his character up.
Well, probably because he did take a bullet, like he won't be able to do a strong core exercise, so she probably won't like him.
Every time.
It's okay. If she doesn't want him, I'll take him.
Human flesh is pretty fatty. Anyway, and with that, so after they capture Lincoln, everyone gets back together and the fog is cleared. Abby has told Clark that they're going to find her friends. And then we get Jaha coming through the bushes and he gives everyone a warning. He says that the commander says that they have to leave and they have 2 days to do so. Thoughts?
Well, first of all, at the end of the episode, after he says this, they showed some clips from next week's episode.
Yes.
And it looked like that things are just going to keep going in the super cool direction that they were.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like, definitely he says that. They're going to attack you. I mean, it's the same thing that happens early on in, I think, the first season of Lost, I want to say, when you find out that the others are going to attack them.
Right.
And they're all trying to hoard the crew and get everybody. It makes it way more exciting when you're, like, bracing for an attack and there's going to be a fight. You wonder – well, we can get into predictions, but –
why don't we get into predictions now?
Yeah, well, I was the only one that responded to your question. Did you want to say anything about Jaha and 2 days left to live?
Well, when he came out from the woods, I just kept thinking, man, he's been beating so much this episode.
Yeah.
Like, they keep knocking him around, beating him up while Kane sits pretty.
But I like that, though, because we saw in the whole first season of him just kind of being the upper hand
diplomatic
kind of guy. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And now he's kind of like in the gritty, like he's just bleeding like the whole season. Like, it's fantastic. And he went crazy when he was by himself. I liked it. I think it's a good thing for his character to just change, like, his whole demeanor.
Though, I find it interesting, and maybe this is my one nitpicky thing.
Yeah.
In that, like, Jaha just showed up. He didn't hurt anyone. And he's getting constantly beat up. Mm-hmm. Whereas Kane and his men have, like, murdered people. Specifically grounders. They've shot them to death. And Kane is just like, ah, we're not going to touch this guy because he's talking about peace. Even though he's, you know, killed a bunch of us.
But remember, this is like you said earlier, one of those things you liked. It's nice that they don't have any idea that the massacre that the kids inflicted had anything to do with these guys.
Right.
So they don't know anything about Jaha. It could be they just think that he's connected to these other people, and those people killed their people, so he deserves to be beaten. My beef, and I've said this before.
Oh boy, I've said this before.
I've started an avalanche.
Well, no, it's just, you know, we've talked before about, like, characters that we dislike or like, and ultimately, you know, whatever. Like, that they've shown us time and time again that even the characters that we dislike and the storylines that we think are irrelevant, they become relevant, they become interesting. In Octavia's case, I get that, like, especially seeing with this thing with Lincoln, it's cool. Like, it's good to have her around. It's good to have them around because he's a cannibal and that's rad. But I'm still trying to figure out what the point of Jaha is, because if you think about it, everything that's happened with him since he crashed to Earth, meeting the kid, being taken captive, seeing Kane, you didn't actually need Jaha to do any of those things. You could have had Kane get captured by himself.
Yeah.
They could have just beaten Kane. Like, they could have just beaten Kane to death and, like, here's a knife. You're going to need to kill yourself. Otherwise, we're going to kill your... And then he tries to or something.
Mm-hmm.
And then they beat him up. And then they send him back. And it's, instead of Jaha crashing down, it's Kane crashing down.
Yeah.
Being we have 2 days left to live. I guess the point is, and they probably will prove me wrong, as they usually do.
Yeah.
I just sort of feel like, to this point, I don't understand why he's still in the show.
I feel like, and this is probably super duper far-fetched, but I feel like it's a way of kind of ushering in divinity to the show. Like, because at a certain point in the episode, he talked about seeing his son and his son telling him that they're meant to, you know, do better things and they're not meant to die where they are.
Right.
So, and everything that's happened has been super oriented towards getting him where he needs to be.
Right.
So, like, him landing in that specific spot got him to the guardsmen, and the guardsmen got him to that prison, which had him meet up with Kane, and then that allowed him his freedom to warn everybody else. So, I mean, and this might, no, I'm not going to say that because it's a spoiler or something else, but, I mean, it could be a way of going, I mean, here is a destiny that we all have. And he's the way of ushering that into the show. Because before now, it's been like, we're going to survive because of our own will. But he could be the means of being like, no, we were meant to survive, and this is what's going to happen.
So do you think that – so I'm not sure if any or of all of our viewers watch Game of Thrones. It's obviously one of the most popular shows. But you become – yeah, I'm a huge Game of Thrones fan.
Yeah.
You become very aware within the first couple seasons that it's Daenerys Targaryen's story. It's kind of – it's about her ultimately. It doesn't seem like it in the first season as much, but her goal, raising these dragons, freeing the people, even though you're paying attention to the Starks and to the Lannisters and everything, it becomes – the backbone of the whole story is it's like her destiny to do what she's supposed to do.
Right.
Do you think that we might see something that interesting with Jaha, where it becomes his destiny to sort of, he's supposed to lead the people to some ultimate goal?
I think so.
Yeah, I'm on the same boat. I feel like this is his second chance. Even though he was technically leading the people on the Ark, I feel like this is his second chance to do a better job.
That's really interesting.
Yeah.
He seems like he's a catalyst, more so for the adults than for the teenagers.
Right.
Especially now he has this, you know, the load on his head that his son is dead, and that's always going to motivate him. Because he can't get his son back, so he has to make use of what happened.
Right. Yeah, yeah, he sent him. Yeah, so that's interesting. I'll stick to what I said, but I very, very easily could be proven wrong. Why don't we predict some stuff, guys?
Heck yeah.
Excellent.
And now, you're after Buzz TV.
let's get started with you, Ben.
Oh, man. Started with me?
Yep.
I
can pass it off to Vivian. Give you some time to think.
That Vivian's going to go first.
Guys, dun, dun, well, dun. I guess ladies first is,
oh yeah,
you know,
yeah,
always apparent. Thanks for being such gentlemen. So things that I'm predicting, I definitely want to see what happens with Olivia and Lincoln and Bellamy. I do think that that's going to be something that's major in the next episode, was what do they do with Lincoln. I don't know exactly what's going to happen, but I feel like I called her Olivia. Octavia is going to be. Now we're just looking at me.
At some point,
just throw me a lifesaver. But she's going to be torn and twisted the whole episode, trying to figure out what to do with them. And I feel like Bellamy's going to give her more responsibility with what should we do? Mm-hmm. This is on you. This is your man. How should we treat him?
He never really liked him in the first place. He was always a little afraid of him.
Yeah.
So then him having to kind of step in as the man and take care of it a little bit seems. Yeah, I don't know. We'll see.
It's like, let's torture him until he's okay.
Yeah. I hope he just eats Octavia.
Whoa.
Oh, man. Whoa. The commenters are going to rip you a new
one. I mean, they would never do that. That's like way beyond. But it would just be like morbid. So twisted.
Yeah. I would actually enjoy that.
I just don't even know what I would do. I would, my head would explode.
I would puke for 3 days like Jasper.
Yeah, it'd be gross.
Oh, God. Don't bring that up again. That's hard for me to watch.
All right. Sure, I'll do some predicting. I think that the 48 are going to start staging their revolution. And while that's going on, I mean, yes, we know that Camp Jaha is going to be getting ready for their war. But I think that at some point something is going to interfere. Maybe the Mountain Men, as they're starting to venture out because they have the blood, will be more inclined towards dominating all the land and, taming the savages, as it were.
Sure.
So I think that's a thing that's going to happen. And also, I think that Finn is going to be forgiven, and Murphy is going to become his best friend because they've both experienced
this thing. Some tough stuff.
Yeah.
So they'll have a bromance going on?
Bromance.
Yeah.
That's interesting. As complex as I think the storyline is getting with Finn, and as interesting as a character as he's going to be, Bellamy and Clark will continue to form Bellark as we go forward, and I think it's going to tear Finn apart, and I think that he will have some noble moments, I agree with you. Maybe it's not in the next episode. I think Finn does die. I think he will. And mm-hmm. I think it'll probably be in a way that, I mean, the obvious way would be as like a sacrificial character where he's like sacrificing himself to save the people. But
right.
I almost would just rather he gets just butthurt and he just goes a little crazy and they have to kill him or something. Bellamy has to kill him or something. Like that, I mean, I believe the commenters have referenced that in the book they create a handful of these characters that aren't.
Yeah, Finn wasn't originally in the book.
Finn and Raven, I think, both are not. So they can kind of do whatever they want as far as, And it seems like Finn will die. I believe one of the next episodes is called Remember Me. Might be the next episode or the one after.
Oh, yeah?
Mm.
So somebody is going to die in theory. Probably won't. I mean, Kane doesn't seem like he's like a Remember Me type of character.
Yeah.
But, I mean, he could be. But I think Finn's going to die. It'll just be a couple episodes, and I hope it's in an interesting way if it does happen.
Yeah. That's a good one.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I think that wraps us up. Thanks for joining us, guys. We had a great time talking with you. Ben Bateman, tell us where to find you on the social medias.
You guys can find me. Am I here? I'm here. I'm here. You guys can find me on Twitter at Ben_Bateman. You can find me frequently tweeting about Lindsay Morgan and to Lindsay Morgan. So help me with that mission to get her on our show here. I actually use Instagram more than Twitter, though. Ben Bateman Media. Check me out.
Vivian.
I'm over here. Yeah? Sorry.
Yeah.
New girl jitters. So you can find me on Twitter and on Instagram @_vivaciouslyv. You can also check out my website, vivaciouslyvivian.com and poshpoispolish.com.
Nice. You can find me on Twitter @TauriJ. That's TauriJay. Alexis, where can they find you?
You can find me @atorres890 on Twitter and Instagram.
Great. Thanks for joining us. We hope you had a wonderful holiday, and we'll see you next week.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later!
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.